It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Money for Lunch. It's good to have you here. This is a the holiday season full swing, and just wanted to say thank you so much. I appreciate the fact that you guys help us out in so many different ways. Topic suggestions, guest suggestions, supporting us at all our different platforms, iHeartMedia, iTunes, all the other different platforms. So again, I want to just start off by saying thank you so very, very much. All right. The quote of the day comes from comedian Stephen Wright. Do Lipton employees take coffee breaks? Again, that's from comedian Stephen Wright. I just felt as though, hey, why not start off with something kind of funny? Do Lipton employees take coffee breaks? Anyway, Stephen Wright happens to be one of my favorite comedians. I think he passed away, but just a really funny, dry sense of humor and a lot of one-liners like that, and he built a whole career on it. All right, let's get the party started. I'm being joined today by Allison DePauli. Doesn't it make you crazy when you know that there's a better way to do something and you want to scream your head off until everybody else knows it too? Well, Allison DePauli is here to kind of help us align ourselves and kind of figure things out and help us with, just all these little important things and anyway, so we'll just bring her on and we're just going to have a great conversation. Allison DePauli, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks for having me, Bert.
You bet, you bet. So why don't you do this real quick? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you help people?
Sure. So what I do sounds very boring. So I help employers add predictability and control to their healthcare spend. Healthcare spend is probably the second largest expense that an employer has after payroll. And most of them look at that every year and go, huh, what exactly is it that I'm paying for? And why does it keep increasing the way it is?
Right. Yeah. I think the answer for a lot of us is, well, that's just the way it is.
And it doesn't have to be that way. So what we do is put people through a process and help them understand first what they're spending their money on, and two, help them get control of it, always putting quality first, because that will actually help drive your cost control the most, and making sure that employees that need care get it, which seems also to be left out of the equation these days.
Interesting. I like that. Yeah, and I want to kind of come back to what you said, that it might sound boring, but I want to say that if you have, let's say a few employees and your company's been around a while, having that predictability and control is actually pretty exciting.
Of course it is. You know the cost of every other component of your business, right? You know how much it costs you to make or do whatever it is that you make or do. This?
Yes.
No idea.
It is maddening, and I think, it's first of all, it's a weird language. It's just like learning a new language, and I think that most people,
absolutely,
including myself, we're overwhelmed. It's like, I don't know what any of this means.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. We do a lot of educating.
Yeah.
A lot of educating, and we get a lot of, we can do that? We can do that? Really? We can do that? Yes, we can.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, it goes back to, having somebody, call it a consultant, call it a coach, kind of walk you through it and say, these are the things that you can do. And people, you know, that's why you're getting that reaction. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know
Absolutely.
I had that option. And this is not to be mean or hurtful, but, you know, if you are sometimes you have to hold the we call it your agent's feet to the fire, meaning they're the ones who signed you up. And they're the ones that, and sometimes these guys don't know any better than you do, because they have some, you know, they have a what do you call it, a products, features, and benefits spiel that they have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And just like most agents that sell insurance or any other type of product, they have really a limited scope of information.
Correct.
You know, for many years I worked in the insurance field, and so agents who sell insurance know, you know, a few things. And the people who actually service that insurance, who do the claims work, are the ones who 90% of the time will explain to their clients, oh, that's not in your policy. This is what you need to do. This is what, you know, this is what's covered. This is what's not covered. And
absolutely.
I was going to say the number one reason that customers switch from one insurance provider to the other is because their expectations weren't met. I thought my agent said I was covered. But these are all the exceptions that the agent, exactly. The agent didn't tell me this or didn't tell me that. All right, so let's talk about this. Let's start talking about getting this controllability, getting this predictability, getting, you know, and I'm assuming it starts with getting your data. And
absolutely.
So talk about this. Talk about, you know, the data, asking for the data, getting the data, what am I supposed to do? Talk about that first, and then we can go on.
Sure. So if you're an employer of over 100 lives, then you have a right to your data, right? So you get to see what claims are being paid out of your plan. Sometimes it's a bit challenging to get. If you complain enough, you can get it. Then you can look and see what's happening. Now, most people will look at that and go, I have no idea what this is. So you need somebody to help you, or you need to take a crash course in how to review claims and see what you've got going on. And what you want to do is identify your super utilizers, which are generally driving about 80 to 90% of your cost. That's probably 10% of your employee population. And then you want to help make sure that those people get the highest quality care and that they're taking their medications and that they are receiving all of the routine care that they need. You might spend a few thousand dollars on that, but you'll avoid a $40,000 spike in the emergency room because somebody's not taking their medication. And I know that sounds oxymoronic, and that's a little bit in the weeds, but ideally what you want to do is look at what your cost drivers are. Look at what tools are available for driving savings and driving control. Then you want to create a plan. Then you want to roll it out. You need to engage your employees. You know, employees have budgets too, right? They have families. They have budgets. And they're interested in controlling their cost also. Help them. Help them control their costs, their out-of-pocket costs. And then you want to keep refining and optimizing because as time goes on, even over the last couple of years, there are more tools available to help you ensure quality care and care at the right price. And honestly, the right care at the right time at the right place is usually the right price.
Yeah, I like that.
So you want to make sure that all of that is happening.
Yes. You know what? And I love this strategy here. Find out who are your high users. Make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you know, I'm a big believer in incentivizing your employees to take better care of themselves. One of the things,
Absolutely.
One of the things that I've done for years is I have vitamin C and vitamin D readily available at our office. And, you know, and we explain to everybody, you know, hey, vitamin C is great. It helps, you know, but it gets depleted with water. It gets depleted with stress. It gets depleted every time you drink coffee or Coke or anything. So you got to take it a couple times a day. It helps, you know, again, I'm not a doctor or pretend to be, but it helps with, you know, with your immune system a little bit. It helped with your the cells, something or other. And then you know, vitamin D, some of the benefits of vitamin D. Again, it's an immune this and either way, we probably spend, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred dollars on just these two supplements. It's not mandatory for anybody to take them. But
it's there.
It's there. And I want to say that 50 or 60% of the office will take them. And those are the people who are generally not sick. Those are the people who generally have, you know, who don't ever miss a day of work because of, you know, whatever, because of illness. And that little investment in having vitamins readily available has saved us, I would say, tens of thousands of dollars. And we're nowhere near 100 employees. We're a small, tiny, itty-bitty company. But still, back to what you're saying, find out who are your big users and make sure that they're taking care of themselves. Yes, help them, incentivize
you
them. Go ahead.
And I think that's a small example, but you can pull that into your plan. And I think if you have a culture of that, people are more engaged and you're driving recruitment and ultimately what a benefits plan is supposed to do. It's supposed to help you recruit and retain talent. Now, many industries are in a war for talent, so a better benefits plan helps them. Everybody is in a war for profit and EBITDA, so get the waste, fraud, and abuse out of your plan. Drive that right into your bottom line. And, you know, the yield curve keeps flattening. When that flattens, the economy is often not doing so well. So what kind of competitive advantage does it give you if you have that expense under control and you know what it's going to be and you can drive that cost down and drive that cost down? I mean, it's a huge competitive advantage.
Yes.
And you help care for your employees. And most employers I know care what happens to their employees. They work there because they're valuable to their business and they like them as human beings for the most part.
Yes.
And so it serves everybody.
It serves everybody. And you know what? And let me tell you, you mentioned, you know, that your heavy users and a lot of heavy users tend to be families. And as, as the leaders or the parents of the family, knowing that you have good quality health care, that you can access that is peace of mind, because sooner or later your kids are going to break something or they're going to get sick and they got to be taken to the hospital and all that other stuff. And that is peace of mind. That's a great way of building loyalty. And so it does, it is taken into consideration when you are deciding where you're going to invest some of your years.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can incent employees and you can encourage and you can do all that kind of stimulation healthy and productive. And that's ultimately what you want. And it's not as hard as you think it is. And small employers can do it as well. It's a little harder for smaller employers, but it is possible. And there are tools that are available to large companies that are now available to mid-sized and small companies that help you contain what's going on.
Absolutely.
But you need an advisor who will help you and sit on your side of the table.
Yes. And again, this is no different than having your CPA or your accountant or your bookkeeper explain to you everything from how to read a balance sheet to billing, reading financial reports to understanding your taxes. This is just one of those things that you have to kind of get a grip on. Let's talk about this because something that you said caught my attention. That is quality of care, high quality of care versus high quality cost. And one of the things that I have noticed, and I want your feedback on this, is that sometimes the highest cost of care is not necessarily the highest quality of care. Have you found that to be true?
About 99% of the time.
Wow.
And let me give you an example. I was auditing some claims for a client of mine, and I was testing out a new tool. And the tool helps, it aggregates cost from facilities, so hospitals. And what we've discovered is that there is an almost 100% inverse relationship between cost and quality. Generally, the highest quality is in the lowest bracket of cost. Now, not 100% of the time, but well over 90% of the time. And but people don't know where to go or what to do or how to find that. So let me give you one thing that we checked out. Is there was a heart procedure that we were looking at. And I live in San Antonio, Texas, and that particular procedure was over $100,000 at every facility in San Antonio. The highest quality place in the nation was the lowest cost, and it was a hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, and the cost was in the $30,000 range, and it was the number one facility in the United States to have that procedure.
Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, that's not $5,000. That's some money, right? So imagine that happening five or six times a year in your plan, and you can save 30 to 50% of the cost and deliver higher quality care. So you're doing something good for your employee, and you're saving your plan a significant amount of money. But you need tools to do that and tools to identify what those facilities are and how you get them, how you get there, and all of that.
So let me ask you this, based on your experience, so let's say I am doing some of these things, right? I go and I get myself a consultant or a coach like you, and you're helping me, you know, better, more efficiently,
manage
more effectively,
plan.
Manage my claims and reduce my costs. Is that something that I can now take to my insurance provider and say, look, these are all the things that we're doing to keep our costs down? Because, you know, sometimes rates go up. Regardless of how good we are, rates are going to go up, expenses
Correct.
Go up. But doesn't this help negotiate with your provider to keep your rates down?
So if you're in a fully insured health plan, there are some things that you can do to nibble around the edges of that.
Okay.
So you can use telehealth and you can promote wellness and you can, you know, use some incentives for your employees, but there's not a whole lot that you can do because you are not in control of that plan. So what we do is put you on a path to predictability and control. That involves some sort of self-funding typically.
Okay.
And that is not nearly as scary or risky as it sounds. And once you're in an arrangement where you are with an independent TPA who manages your claims and you've got proper reinsurance, so you're not exposed, you're not overly exposed, you have an appropriate amount of risk, then you can start to use the tools that help you control the actual cost of the claims. And that is not something that happens in the employer's office. That is something that happens with the TPA and the advisor. So
gotcha.
A significant amount of additional regular things review. Day-to-day management is still handled by another party. But when you do that, you manage the risk. You set the parameters of how the plan works, and you are actually managing the risk. You're not managing the financing of the risk. So when insurance is just financing of risk, right? Just contract law and financing of risk. I'm going to pass this risk to you, and I'm going to pay you this amount of money to absorb the risk. So all you're doing is shifting that risk and taking more control of it. So ideally, and it's safer, it's not more risky. You have a much better understanding of what it is and what your exposure is, and you have a lot more opportunity to control your costs and save your dollars. Smaller employers, there's something called level self-funding. It's the best of both worlds. The risk is low. We level out the funding, so you're paying the same premium every month. And then if you don't spend all your claims dollars, you can apply those to the next year, or you can take that as a refund to yourself. I mean, we've seen refund checks of $85,000, $150,000, $200,000 for unused premium.
Wouldn't that be nice.
To get that back rather than having to pay an additional $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000. So that is a nice way for small and mid-sized employers to control what is happening and not have an excessive amount of exposure. So, and when you move to a self-funded plan, you know what's your responsibility, you know what your expected responsibility is in terms of claims, you know what the worst exposure is, and you have reinsurance to take care of something truly goes off the rails. And that doesn't happen too often.
Yeah.
So it's just much more controllable, and you understand, you have a much better understanding of what is happening. And I think that's important.
Well, it,
right
it totally
now,
is.
Nobody has any idea.
Right. Back to what you said. Look, again, if you're running a business, you should know what your expenses are, right? You know what it takes you
Absolutely.
To acquire a customer. You know what you should know the lifetime value of that customer. You should know what it costs mm-hmm. you to, you know, create your widgets or deliver your service or you know, when you onboard a client or even onboard an employee, you should kind of know, you should know those things. And of course, this is no different. I do want to ask you this though. I want to talk about something that I just became aware of simply because of our conversation today, this interview, and that is future contracts in healthcare. I want to talk about this because my understanding is that you can use future contracts in healthcare to offset costs and things of this nature. Talk about this. What do you mean by future
sure.
contracts?
So I love this. This just makes my nerd girl heart happy. So you can work with a TPA, or if you're a large employer, you can work on this directly with the facility. And I was in a meeting not too long ago with a large employer, and you can do this if you're smaller. You just have to work through your TPA that knows that every year they have between 36 and 40 knee replacements. So they work working on a contract with a facility and pricing those out for the next several years. So if we send you this many per year, this is what it costs. We're going to send you this many patients, and we need to know that you're meeting A, B, C, D, and E quality metrics. And then the facility is saying, we will do that for a bundled price of X. So the employer knows what their cost is for that procedure for the next 5 years.
Wow.
So all that is managing your supply chain. There are plenty of particularly manufacturers that do that on a regular basis. They know what their costs are. I mean, manufacturers negotiate to fractions of cents, right? So all this is a different kind of apple, right? You're just negotiating that for musculoskeletal lends itself to that particularly, but you can do it with other types of procedures as well. And you know if you go to this facility that this is what it costs for the next 5 years. And if you have a big enough pool of people, then you know that you have between 36 and 40, and that's just an example. And you can also work with a TPA that does direct contracting with facilities, and you may have access to there's a TPA in Texas that has direct contracts with 80 different hospitals in Texas. They know exactly what these 12 procedures or whatever number it is per facility work cost. They go to the best facility, the facility that has the highest quality rating for this procedure, and say, we're going to send you so many per year because they have a large book of business and they know how many they're going to have per year. And they have negotiated the price for the next several years. It is an incredible way to control the cost of your plan. Because really, if somebody's going to the doctor once a year, let them go where they want to go. Who cares?
Right.
If it costs $300 or $400, let them get quality care where they want to go. You're much more concerned about making sure that a knee procedure is done well and correctly and without side effects, and that stent placements are done at a facility that does several hundred or 1,000 a week and not by somebody that does 5 a month. Because the person that's doing this hundreds of times is very, very good at it. And they know how to price it. And they know how to make sure that things don't go wrong and where the sort of pitfalls are for complications and make sure that they manage that. Now, is it perfect? No, nothing is. But it's really, really, really good.
I like that. Really, really,
and that
really good.
That is an incredible way. That is an incredible way to control your cost. So that you know
Absolutely.
You have a knee replacement, it costs, you know, $36,000 and not, you know, $75,000.
Right.
I mean, you know, again, that's some money.
Not only that, here's the other thing. If you go to a facility that does them all the time, right, there is a, here in the Phoenix area, there is a specialist, and that's all he does is knee replacements.
Yep.
Right?
And he knows and everything that can go wrong and everything that can't go wrong, and they have made that process the most efficient that they can.
Yes.
Right?
As opposed to going to a you know, somebody who, like you said, who does them 5 or 10 times a year, and he's, you know, he's probably pretty good. There's no chance that he's going to be as good as this one facility. They actually have 2 or 3 locations. That's all they focus on is knee replacements. And, you know, that to me makes good common. And it's just common sense. You're doing that. You know, if you can do that with your supply, with all the other suppliers, why wouldn't you do this? It just makes total sense. I love it.
Absolutely. And there are hundreds of facilities across the United States that do that. And there are a number of companies that help set that up. So that is not something that is, you know, only for employers that have 50,000 employees. Absolutely not. That is for plenty of employers. And most employers have no idea that you can do that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I would never even think of doing that. But again, that's the difference between having a consultant or a coach kind of say, hey, did you know you could do this? Back to the beginning of our conversation, the ahas that you can get when you have somebody who knows what they know.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had an experience not too long ago with an employer, and 2 hemophiliacs appeared on their plan. And that was $1.2 million in medication. We found a resource for that was $800,000, not $1.2 million. Fabulous solution for a terrible problem, but you need somebody that will help you find solutions, not just Band-Aid the problem, not find you a less bad renewal, not, you know, well, you know, we can save you a couple percent here. We're going to move to this other insurance company. That's not a solution to the problem. That is just a shift. Ultimately, it doesn't help you. You need somebody that will find you an appropriate cost and appropriate care and make it easy for you or simple.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, to me, it's just crazy. But, you know, right there, what a great aha. If somebody is listening, they can start realizing that, hey, just like a lot of things in life, it's negotiable. You can work on it. You can get help. And so for you guys who are listening and you're thinking, man, I'd like to get a little bit more information. You can go to the polyprofessionals.com.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. DEPAOLIPROF services.com. And, you know, her website there. What's that? Oh, you made a landing page just for us?
We made a landing page just for you. DePauli Prof Services /MYL, Money for Lunch. And what you'll find there is information about our company. And we've also put on there the ebook about how to control your costs. So it's a good primer for understanding what you can do. You can work with a local advisor. You can call us. We can refer you to somebody else, whatever it is that helps. There's a video on there that talks about, you know, these 5 steps and how to implement them. And then there's some time on my schedule. If you'd like to talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to anybody for a few minutes. So that's
hanging
out there for you.
I love it. All right. So let me ask you this. You know, I mentioned a couple of times that, you know, incentivizing your employees to do, you know, certain things to take care of themselves. And again, I want to get your thoughts on this, because you've probably seen misaligned incentives in healthcare. And I want to get your thoughts on what happens when incentives are misaligned. Talk about this.
Sure. So let me give you a couple of examples. We recently were reviewing some claims, and there was a person who was on a medication for a very long time, and it was a generic medication, and the cost of the medication was 50 cents a pill.
Okay.
Okay. that's a pretty reasonable cost, right?
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, this medication price was a crazy multiple of that. And it took a little digging, and what we discovered is that the physician had doubled the dosage of this medication. And that happens, right? Okay, that happens. And the cost for the new dosage, and it was a 50 to 100 milligram prescription, you'd think that, okay, that might be a dollar per pill. $10.
Wow.
Now, the employee has no idea that the doubling of the dosage is of a generic medication has increased the cost by a crazy amount, right? Because they just pay their copayment. And the physician is probably not aware of this, right? Because they're just prescribing the medication and it's a generic medication and they're not thinking about it. That's not really their primary role, is to determine the cost of a medication, right? Their primary role is to take care of a patient. And so where's all that money going? So what we ended up doing is going back to the physician and saying, could we go back to the original dosage and we just double the pills? And that worked out just fine. But you need somebody to help with that. You know, Enbrel is one that costs about $55,000 or $60,000 a year, but it can be had for $15,000 to $17,000 a year, depending on where you get it from. So those are some things, a lot of waste, a lot of fat in there. The procedure I was talking about earlier, the heart procedure, that was over $100,000 in San Antonio and $30,000+ in Baltimore. You can incent and help to get somebody there and do a good thing for your employee and save your plan a significant amount of money. So it's all those, they're not tiny things, but they're simple things to look at and figure out a better way. Future contracting, right? There's no question about what the price is. So there's no variable. There's no 70,000 once and 40 another and 52 the next time. You know, it's 30,000 or 40,000 or 20,000 or whatever it is. Applying those kind of supply chain management, where is the best place? Where is the best quality? How do we access that? And how do we make sure that our employee is being well taken care of? And I will tell you that care management is one of the best tools that you can use in your plan. That's like the central nervous system of your health plan. It helps make everything run better. It helps the employee understand what's going on. It helps find the best cost the best service at the best cost, and it helps just smooth everything out and make it work better. So those are just some areas that you could look at.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Allison DePauli, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and giving us some great ideas and strategies to reduce our healthcare. I love some of the stuff that we learned today. And again, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Bert, thanks for having me.
You bet. Good stuff there from Allison DePauli. And I don't know about you guys, but man, that was pretty cool. I mean, to think that there are things that we can do to reduce how much money is being spent on healthcare without, and this is the important part, without cheating our employees or, you know, whatever, maybe not the word cheating, but without having to water down our benefits, right? So great stuff there from Allison DePauli. And you can go to her website. I'll spell it out one more time. Or it's DePauli, DePauliRofServices.com/MFL for Money for Lunch, I believe is what she said. But if not, just go to the website, check it out. And let her know that, you know, that you heard about us from, you heard about her from our show, and she'll take care of you. You can tell that she's excited about helping people save money. So this is just a great thing. And one of the reasons I love doing this show is because I get to interview people like Allison, and I get to learn something that I did not know before. It's like going to school all the time. So let's share this episode with everybody that you know. Let's help as many people understand that they do not have to put up with, overpaying for healthcare, that they actually can take control of their healthcare that they can manage their expenses, that they can do these future contracts. I love that idea. That right there will save somebody literally tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars. As always, my friends, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.